Bearcat football team. Rich Wright, I'm John Coffey, and we've got a lot to talk about tonight and a special guest here that Rich didn't know about until about a minute ago. But Sarah Wright, Rich's wife, is with us here on the show today. And Sarah, it's good to have you with us on the show.
Thanks, John. I'm glad to be here.
So I think we kept this a pretty good surprise for you, Rich.
Yeah, you absolutely did. I thought I was going to have Dave Tollefson on, and I am my wife, so here we go.
Well, it's even better, right?
There we go. It is better.
We might talk a little bit about homecoming this past weekend as a good win for the Bearcat football team with Nebraska Kearney. And, boy, you really got things off to a great start there with that opening kickoff and the reverse to Caden, and he just raced down that sideline for the score.
Yeah, we did. You know, we were kind of looking to put everything together and felt like we did in that football game. It was nice to have both quarterbacks the whole week during practice. We wanted to start fast. We were able to do that. Unfortunately, defensively, we gave up the touchdown, but offensively, we were on. And, you know, it really showed. And anytime you can get an option team behind, it really makes my life a lot easier. We were able to neutralize the running game, and that was a big deal. And once we got the momentum, we never let it go. And so we were in a good position in halftime and made it a better position in the second half. So it was fun to watch.
How much did that opening kickoff return just kind of set the tone, even though that UNK came back and had a touchdown right after that, but just really kind of, it seemed like it got the crowd going, it got the team going. It just seemed like that was just a huge play for
it. It definitely got the crowd and the energy in the stadium going. It was, you know, our sideline was electric. You know, we were excited. You know, anytime we lose a football game around here, it's a big deal. And so we had been waiting for this for two seasons and finally got the opportunity to play Kearney again. And we were dialed in. You could tell in practice all week. I had a pretty good feeling going into the game. But you never know what's going to happen. And so to start the game off that way was big.
Yeah, in the past, you've had such a good presence against option teams. And, of course, the option UNK has is a little bit different from what a true option is. But you're able to really nullify what he does with the ball running it on Saturday.
Do you know, you guys make me panic every time you say that I'm always good against the options. So then I stress the entire week on being good against the option. But, yeah, we are. It's responsibility football. And I think the one thing we do is we continue to play our defense. We tweak some things and make some subtle changes to try and create some big outcomes, and that was what we were able to do against TJ and Kearney's offense. You know, the thing we were trying to do is limit his ability to rush the football, particularly vertically, and then force him to pitch it onto the perimeter. So that's you know, the cookie recipe was pretty good.
You know, there's one play that really stands out to me. I think actually maybe it happened a couple of times where he had Brody Buck trailing on the play, and TJ was going right. He turned around, decided to want to go back left, and about a foot away was Brody there to just meet him and just pancake him at that point.
That's astute because we worked on that all week. You know, typically what we do in our back, we're going to work, you know, down the field to try and pursue the ball. But he had done so many things where he went in one direction and flipped back the other way. We actually created layers for him on the backside. And, you know, those guys didn't like me all week during the week, but it sure paid off on Saturday, so that's what counts.
And I know he's had success passing the ball this season, but too, you look at what you were doing, I don't know if he's seen that kind of pressure as far as trying to get passes off than what he had on Saturday as well, but you kind of took his passing game away as well.
We tried to dial in some things. We saw some flaws in the protection, you know, and felt like we could do something with that. And then, in addition, we were fortunate a couple times. Jackson Barnes read out on some things that are really tough reads. There was one to a receiver straight vertical down the field that should have been a safeties, and he compensated for it. You know, we were just able to find the routes. Once we got them to the point where they couldn't run the ball effectively, we knew what was coming, and so that helped.
Now, the offensive side of the ball really makes a little bit of a difference when you've got a quarterback that is healthy now and can run with the ball.
Oh, my goodness. It was so much fun to watch those guys. I mean, they were dialed in. They were able to practice all week. You know, and it's such a difference. You know, you and I can sit up there and watch video and understand a concept. But when there's bullets flying and there's people coming at you, it's completely different. And that's a little bit of what our quarterbacks have had for 4 weeks, is they just haven't had the opportunity to get on the field and see the progressions and see how it looks and what it looks like versus the defense. And so to have those guys practicing all week and feeling good. And then, you know, there were so many things I couldn't talk about going through those weeks. Just the ability to roll the pocket, to bootleg out, to keep the ball. You know, as soon as you can do that, you start to challenge the defense. And the first time Nebraska Kearney, you know, we ran the read play that for 4 weeks we were going to hand it come heck or high water, but all of a sudden, you know, we ran the replay, the end crashed, and, you know, there went Mike Hohensee for 60-some-odd yards. And I talked to Josh this week, Josh Lind, and he was like, we had no idea he was that fast. And he goes, he got to level two, and we didn't have anybody that was going to catch him. And he was like, I now see what you're talking about.
You know, the fun part about that play was, from our vantage point, you could almost see the defenders look at each other and say, where did this come from? And all of a sudden, and I think at that point, they knew it was on for the day.
Yeah, you know, you look at film long enough, and you've heard me say this on the other side of it, and you start to get a feel for what an offense is. And what we presented to them on Saturday was very different than what they had seen, you know, from us this season. So
I guess the only disappointment to homecoming was the fact that Zach Howard wasn't named homecoming king.
Yeah, I was frustrated with that. You know, I was picketing out there on, you know, day before the game, trying to get him some votes, and, you know, it just it didn't work out.
You know, and he had, what, over 100 or so votes he should have been able to count on off of the team there.
You would think. I'm not sure all those guys voted or who they voted for.
Well, you know, I had a chance to talk to Sarah earlier on homecoming day about around the parade site, and she was a little bit worried about the game. I was telling her, and she came back to me up and said, I think we're going to be fine. And by gosh, we were, weren't we?
You were exactly right.
She gauges her mood by my mood during the week, and usually against option teams, it's really not a fun week around the right household. So,
well, it turned out pretty well, I think, overall.
It certainly did. And you're right. I was a little nervous, but you helped calm my nerves that morning.
Well, that's why I'm here, I guess, to help out. But as far as homecoming for you guys, I know the game's got to be the number one thing that takes place. But, again, you look at homecoming overall, it's a big event on campus, and it's kind of a balancing act as a family, isn't it, for what you guys do during that week a little bit?
Absolutely. You know, so first off, my dad was here, you know, so that adds a dynamic to it. And Sarah's brother was down for the homecoming game. And, you know, when you've been here for 19 years, you have 19 years worth of kids that are coming back. And, you know, we say family, and I think we believe it here. And you know, so you're trying to make sure you see everybody and do everything. And it's special at Northwest Missouri State. You want to take it from your perspective?
And we couldn't have asked for a better homecoming this year. The weather was beautiful. So many alums back just because they didn't have the opportunity to come back the previous year. And it's always fun for myself and our girls. We get up and we go to the parade. This year the girls were in the parade, so it was a little different. I was standing there just with my friends watching. But it's such a fun time to celebrate the university and watch the students just really enjoy being college students and celebrating their homecoming.
Yeah, I think really you couldn't ask, as Sarah said, better weather. Everything just really made it just a great weekend, I think.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, it was what's always so great for me. And I'm not sure who really started it. It was or who had the idea, but it was one of the best ideas I think we've ever had at Northwest. At one point, I think we were sitting down and we were watching a Miami game, and when the University of Miami started to roll, you know, with the Michael Irvins and the Warren Sapps and those guys, they brought their alums back and they put them on the sideline. And you know, one of my favorite things about home games at Northwest Missouri State, but particularly homecoming, is how many of our alums come back. And to see them with their kids and their families, and just they were more excited. So I could show you end zone shots of, you know, so there was Andy Hessler and Marcus and three or four other guys, and they're jumping up, and I mean, they're more excited than our kids are out on the field. So it's just fun to watch them and interact with them during the 4 hours. So,
and I think afterwards, too, what is a great deal, too, when you talk about family, is that the ones that have graduated and gone on through the program are a great source, not only for maybe some advice about football, but job contacts and things afterwards.
Yeah, we have a summit, and one of the things that we've tried to do is kind of bridge that gap a little bit. We have guys that are going to go out into the workforce every year, and we have a vast network of people that are in the professional world. And so to try and marry those two things together, I think, is really advantageous for our program.
Again, we are broadcasting live from A&G Restaurant on In the Trenches with head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright, and his wife, Sarah, with us here for today's show. We'll be back and talk to both of them right after this timeout from A&G.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Clarinda Regional Health Center, emphasizing the importance of keeping annual well-child visits so the physical, mental, and emotional needs of children are met. For more on CRHC's pediatric providers, clarindahealth.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuildings, shops, and garages. More Bearcat Lumber services is at 660-562-0300.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum. In print or online at maryvilleforum.com, the forum provides local news, sports, and information, and news updates throughout the day. More at 660-562-2424.
In the Trenches on KXCV KRNW is underwritten by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Greek night every Friday, banquet rooms, and more. For additional information, agrestaurant.com.
And welcome back to A&G Restaurant and In the Trenches with head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Wright, and Sarah Wright joining us for the show here this evening. And, Rich, first of all, you're coming to Northwest, Hamilton, New York, your hometown. How does somebody from Hamilton, New York find their way to the Midwest?
It was it was kind of a weird story. So, I was at a convention, and I met a guy by the name of Jim Krieger, who at the time was a defensive coordinator at Dana College in Blair, Nebraska. I had gotten hurt playing football and had ended my career. I was a student assistant and met Jim and had a few cocktails, and we discussed the world. And he told me that if I came out to Blair, Nebraska, that I would basically be a GA and I could get my teaching certification, which at the time was necessary to, get into coaching. And so I came back from Atlanta, Georgia. I loaded up my 1981 Chevy Camaro and drove to Blair, Nebraska, and I had never been west of the Mississippi River and never left. Was there for 2 years, and Jim was good friends with Jim Sabota and Scott Boswick, who had both been at Nebraska Wesleyan, which was in the same conference as Dana at the time. And so I came down here in 1995, and I was a graduate assistant and was here for 2 years. And when I got done, bounced around a little bit in the Midwest, and then Coach T hired me back in 04, and like a bad penny, I just kept turning up.
And I would guess one of the best things that happened as far as coming to Maryville is the fact you had a chance to meet Sarah.
Absolutely. It was, so if we're going to tell stories, we'll just tell them. Here we go. So Coach T at the time had a rule that you really kind of weren't supposed to date the co-eds. So that was really kind of kept hush-hush. Met Sarah at the very end of my first year as a graduate assistant in the spring. She was on the track team, and Coach Thompson had a get-together that they were at earlier, and I showed up to later, and we met there. And then the following year, we kind of got together, and I graduated in December, so technically I didn't break any rules. And then I took a job at Dakota State University in Madison, South Dakota, and we alternated how far we were going to drive back and forth between Madison and Maryville, Missouri, and that's kind of how things started.
And Sarah, what do you think when you first met Rich?
Well, I knew he liked football, so that was a good thing. I grew up with two older brothers and a dad that took me to every football game I could go to. So we had something in common, something that we could talk about. And really that's, you know, what made our connection was the fact that I enjoyed football and he was coaching, and it was just kind of meant to be, I guess.
Yep.
I would think just the matter of hours that he spends coaching and all the games and things, that it's something that really you have to enjoy to make a relationship like this work.
Absolutely. We've been around other staffs where some of the wives might not be as invested in football, but I truly love the game. And what I love about him being a coach is how much he loves the game. And so it makes it a little bit easier at home when sometimes you want to pull your hair out because of the long hours. But when you know that he's doing something he absolutely loves, that certainly helps.
You know, Rich, I remember the press conference they had to announce you as the head coach, and I thought that was really touching what you said about family at that particular point, too.
Yeah, you know, it's I don't do this by myself. I mean, she's in a lot of situations a single mom, and you know, with two young girls, and you know, I don't know how she does it sometimes, having to navigate, you know, Kate's schedule and Grace's schedule, and she still works and really kind of pulls it all together. You know, I guess I'll go from sentimental to funny. There was a time a couple of years ago I came home. And it was shortly after the national championship. And, you know, I'm pretty direct if anybody actually knows me. So I walk into the house and I'm ready to, you know, establish my presence with authority. And she's like, "You haven't been here in 6 months." She goes, "You run the drill at the school. I run the drill in this house." And that's really kind of the way that it works. I mean, you know, she takes care of so many things that I don't even have to think of. I mean, you know, even down to little things in the fall, my time is so constrained. You know, she's gone out and mowed the lawn every week this fall. And I mean, I appreciate the heck out of the little things that she does, and, you know, can't thank her enough because I couldn't do the job that I'm doing without her help.
No, sir, talking with you earlier, you missed a couple of games this year just due to some activities with the kids there, too.
I did. It was really tough at the beginning of the season. I was talking with Rich and I said, "Listen, you know, this is Grace's senior year. She's going to have a lot of volleyball tournaments that are on the same days as your games." And I said, I can't be everywhere at one time. And so we both talked about it, and obviously very supportive of me going to those games, but it was kind of tough to miss. If anybody knows me, I'm really superstitious too. So after the first game I missed and I didn't watch or listen to the game, that meant I couldn't for the other games. And so at volleyball tournaments, I had dads feeding me scores and things like that.
You know, that was one of the questions I was going to ask you, because we all know Rich is a tad on the superstitious side with a few things. I was going to wonder about any type of superstitions you might have.
Well, unfortunately, we're all superstitious in our family. And so the girls and I are very set in our ways in terms of once we win, we have to keep wearing the same outfit over and over again. If we do anything different and things start to turn, we have to go back to the way it was. We were one time, I don't remember where you were playing, but the girls and I couldn't be there. And we were running errands and things were going really well while we were running errands. And we got back in the car and the other team had gone for a first down or something. And Grace, our oldest daughter, yells, "Get out of the car." And so for the rest of the game, we stood in the parking lot with the radio on and listened as our youngest said to me, "Are we seriously doing this?"
So here was the game. Do you remember the Central Missouri game in 15 where we got down big and then made the comeback in the second half? That's the game she's talking about. So, yeah, they stood outside the car. So you think I'm bad? I heard about one road trip against Missouri Western when we were playing at Western, and my wife stood in the bathroom and got score updates out of the bathroom. So I'm superstitious. They take it to a new level.
I was going to say, that level there, that says a lot right there.
There's commitment there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Although, we had people at the Missouri Western game where I would, like, go to step out of the bathroom, and they'd say, get back in there, get back in there. So I felt like I had to take one for the team.
Well, imagine, again, during a season, everything is just so busy and everything. When you get a chance, and I know it's probably not as much of a time in the off season as a lot of people think, too, with recruiting and different things that go along with the off-season program. But what do the two of you like to do to just kind of relax when you're away from football?
No, we really don't. I mean, particularly when things are going well, we go, we plan to December. My first day off is usually Christmas. And when I say Christmas, it's usually December 24th. And I get a couple days then, and then I'm back on the road between Christmas and New Year's. And then we'll celebrate New Year's Day, and we always try and get around family. And then I'm back on the road again until the first Wednesday in February. And then, you know, they're into swimming, and it just kind of goes. So our downtime consists of, if you really want me to be honest, there's about a 2 or 3 week window that once camps are done at the end of June, so the first, you know, very end of June, first couple weeks of July is when we try and go take a family vacation. And haven't been able to do that for the last 2 years, obviously 2 years ago because of COVID, and this summer because the girls were in so many activities, we just couldn't get away. So this year we're going, our deal has always kind of been Disney World, and we're going to go down for Christmas this year and celebrate that as a family. So that's something that we like to do.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny when we do have downtime, even in the evenings after Saturday evenings, someone asked me, what do you do after games? I said, we literally go home and we turn on football and we sit there and watch football.
Well,
but it's what, I mean, my girls will sit there and watch. We are definitely different in that sense that we love college football. And so we can all sit there and enjoy watching and just kind of decompress.
Well, she asked me the other night, she was like, I said, I'm coming home. I go, what are you watching? And she goes, I don't even remember what she said. I go, Maction's on. And she's like, what? And I was like, it's Tuesday night, Maction's back on. You know, so I got home, and it's just kind of something we do. It's such a big part of our lives that there's a lot of football on around our house.
Well, not a bad thing at all there.
No.
I imagine, too, the question you probably get tired of asking the offseason is, well, you guys have a little time now. what are you doing with your time?
Yeah, I'm not sure anybody really understands that. I'm as busy or more busy during the off season as I am during the season. The only difference is I have a few weekends here and there. You know, there was one time, you know, several years ago, Scott and I sat down, Scott Boswick, and we started to try and carve out, okay, how many weekends a year do we have free from football? Meaning no Saturday, no Sunday, just we have both those days off. We came up with 12.
That's not many.
No.
Not many at all.
And so it's between recruiting and camps and football season and spring ball and everything else we have going, it just it kind of consumes you. So your family's either got to be bought in or it doesn't work. And I was lucky enough to find a lady that was bought into the lifestyle. And, you know, I think the thing that she does a great job with is our kids look at her like a mom. And that's the way she treats them, and she's done an amazing job with that.
Yeah, I think you've talked a lot about the times you bring over some of the players and things over for big meals and things. I imagine that's got to be a heck of a lot of work, and there's some pretty hungry guys that are coming in.
They can definitely eat, but it is an absolute pleasure. And I've been asked before, you know, about being a coach's wife, and really the greatest pleasure in being a coach's wife is watching young men grow and mature and change in the time that they're here. And it's a privilege to be able to do that. And these boys are our boys. Someone asked me at a game the other day, well, is that your son? And I said, well, kind of, because we do look at them that way, and we hurt when they hurt. So, oh my gosh, when Riley Peters got hurt in that game not too long ago, I mean, I was in the stands like, oh, come on, you know, not knowing what's going on. And it's like watching your own child. And we cry with them, and we celebrate with them, and they are our family.
You know, one other question to ask here, too. I know that Rich shares something with me as far as being big Cardinal fans. Have you been able to pick up and become a Cardinal fan as well?
She was actually the original Cardinal fan.
Oh, good.
I was going to say.
Her dad was, you know, diehard Cardinal fan. So
absolutely. So I grew up in Eastern Iowa. So you were either a Cubs fan or a Cardinals fan. And I had one grandpa that was a Cubs fan and one grandpa that was a Cardinals fan. And it was my dad's dad who was the Cardinals fan. And I grew up going to Cardinal games and watching the Cardinals. And so I feel like I indoctrinated him into being a Cardinal fan. But yeah, that was something I always enjoyed as a kid, was going to games with my dad and my brothers. And luckily, I guess I had brothers that tolerated me.
Well, I'll tell you what, you did a great job if you brought him to Cardinal Nation here at Little Red.
Right?
All right. Well, it's been great having you on here. We'll come back and finish up. We'll talk about Missouri Southern here coming up. But, Sarah, thanks a lot for being with us on the show.
Thanks, John.
Again, we are broadcasting live from A&G in downtown Maryville and in the trenches with the head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Wright. Back with more right after this timeout.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the Bearcat Bookstore and the J.W. Jones Student Union. The bookstore supplies Bearcat apparel for men, women, and kids, as well as gifts, accessories, and Northwest logo items. More at nwmissouri.bncollege.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum. In print or online at maryvilleforum.com, the forum provides local news, sports, and information and news updates throughout the day. More at 660-562-2424.
In the Trenches on KXCV KRNW is underwritten by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Greek night every Friday, banquet rooms, and more. For additional information, agrestaurant.com.
And welcome back to In the Trenches with the head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Wright. And Rich, before we let Sarah go, we have to talk about one more thing before we go on and move on to Missouri Southern just a bit. But
was wondering if you're going to bring this up.
Yeah, it's an interesting way you've picked to propose to Sarah.
Yeah, I did. You know, I met Sarah at Northwest Missouri State, and I was up at Dakota State University, and, you know, I couldn't think of a better way to propose to my wife than at a Bearcat football game. So the way I orchestrated this, this is just complete class right here. You know, I had a buddy, Brian Schwartz, who was a graduate assistant with me, and he was good friends with John Yates. So was I at the time. And John was a cheerleading coach. And so what my plan was to get Bobby Bearcat to give her the ring, which he did. And was the game North Dakota State? Was that right?
Yeah, it was.
I thought that was the game. So it was the North Dakota State playoff game. We were done. When I was at Dakota State, we weren't very good. So when the regular season ended, I was done. So I came back down to watch the playoff game. And, yeah, that's how I proposed to my wife. Bobby Bearcat got down on a knee and showed her the ring. And so that's how it worked.
And, Sarah, what did you think at that time?
Well, I tell you what, that day he was acting so squirrely, and I was super annoyed with him. And I couldn't figure out why he was behaving the way he was. And I was just like, gosh, I'm just – and so my friends came to get me at halftime. And he's like, no, you can't leave. I'm like, well, I want to go hang out with my friends. And he was adamant I could not leave. And then I was getting really annoyed. And at that time, that's when Bobby came and grabbed me and took me out on the track. And I don't really like that stuff. So I was super embarrassed. But then I turned around and Bobby had the ring and Rich was standing there. And yeah, as they say, the rest is history.
There you go. Now you know the rest of the story.
And through all the travels, you're able to end right back here in Maryville, Missouri.
Exactly.
It was so ironic in 2004 because I was at St. Ambrose with Coach Sturdy. And, you know, we had a good life. And I enjoyed coaching there and enjoyed that. But this place has always kind of been home for me. And, you know, we looked at each other and said, is this the right move? And, you know, the good Lord willing, it was, and it's been a great place to raise a family. It's a you know, a tremendous community with outstanding people. And, you know, the thing that I'm so blessed about is I get to work with such great people. And I don't mean just the guys I work around on my staff. I mean the coaching staff from, you know, Coach Rosewell and Amy and Mac and, you know, just the entire athletics department staff, the administration, but really the kids, because those are the guys that I'm around the most. That's what I'm so blessed about, is that we have tremendous kids on this football program, and I'm just really proud of them.
Boy, it just seems special here. And when you look at everything that's going on with the other programs too, the success everybody's having, just a great culture to be a part of.
It really is, and it's getting better and better, and it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch. You know, we joke around, we call Coach Rosewell the Godfather, and he is, and it, you know, he's been here so long and he's won so much, and it's fun for me because I have a lot of respect for who he is and what he does. And so we started the season at Pizza Ranch, and you guys do the Tuesday interviews, and Coach Rosewell stood up before the season started, and he said, you know, I want to win the President's Cup, and the fall season's got to carry, you know, pretty much, I'm paraphrasing now, he said it a lot better than I am, but you know me, I'm fairly direct, you know, you fall sports got to roll, and, you know, that's what's happened. You know, Coach Gordon's had a great year. Amy's had a great year. Cross country's been phenomenal. We've been able to carry our part. And he walked by my office the other day, and he was like, Coach, we're doing pretty good in the fall. And I said, Coach Rosewell, you're the only other guy. He wasn't there last week. I was like, do you remember the old E.F. Hutton commercials? And he kind of looked at me, and I go, When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. I go, when Mark Rosewell talks, people listen. So he's just somebody I really appreciate.
You know what he's done now? He's put pressure on himself for the spring season when it rolls around.
Well, you know, I don't know where Franco is, but he hasn't been at Pizza Ranch for the last couple of weeks, and that guy's like a regular attendee.
All right. Well, let's talk just a bit about Missouri Southern. You got that coming up on Saturday, a trip down to Joplin at 2 o'clock kickoff. Southern, a team with three wins under their belt right now, and could legitimately pick up a couple others with a couple close games, and of course they had that one loss to Northeastern State that I imagine they're still kind of shaking themselves about, but it looks like it's a team that's on the upswing and heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I think it is. You know, it's a team that that early was trying to find their path, and struggled against Kearney in week one, and if you're playing the option, you got a bunch of brand new guys, I can understand that, and lost to Northeastern early, but they kind of grabbed their footing, and you know, it's you know, one thing I try and watch more than just, you know, X's and O's when I watch film, and there's buy-in, and their staff down there has done a nice job, because you can see the kids are really bought into what they're doing, and they've played a lot of teams tough. They had Pitt beat and gave up a punt return late that let, you know, Pitt slip out of Joplin, beat Central Missouri. They've played everybody on their schedule really tough. And, you know, you can see the transformation. It's going to take a little bit of time, but I have a lot of respect for their staff and their kids and what they're doing right now. You know, what we have to be focused on is playing to our level. And that was, you know, really my challenge to the kids all week.
And what are some of the things you want to see them? I imagine it's kind of build off the success you had in this past week, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it is. You know, we talked about all week about starting fast and finishing stronger. We've talked about, you know, the fact that the atmosphere in Joplin this Saturday is going to be different than what it was here for homecoming. And we have to create our own energy, and that's what good football teams do. One of the things that I told them, and I'll give you a little insight on this, the way we played Saturday, it reminded me a lot of what I saw in 2016. And are we going to be a one-hit wonder, or are we going to build upon that? I said, you know, we've played the last 2 weeks. We've done this on defense and this on offense, but the scores have been the same. And so it really, our opponents have to become nameless and faceless. It really boils down to, how are we going to play, and what's our level of expectation, and what's the floor and the ceiling of what this team can be. So I'm interested to see. You know, I knew we'd be geeked up to play Kearney. I'm really interested to see what this team will bring to the table this Saturday in Joplin.
All right. Well, Rich, been great having you on the show here today.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, and thanks for the surprise.
No problem, Sarah. Also good to have you along as well. So.
Thanks, John. It was a pleasure.
All right. That's been the End of the Trenches with the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. Don't forget, coming up on Saturday, we got a lot going on as we will have Bearcat football to start things off. 1 o'clock is Bearcat game day. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff from Joplin. We'll have on our stream the entire men's basketball broadcast as they open up their season with a 5:30 tip-off with Northern State, a team that they defeated in overtime in the Central Region Championship, and we'll be joining that in progress on KXCV, KRNW at the conclusion of the football game. And then later that night, the Northwest women open up their season exhibition, William Woods, and you can hear that as well. So a lot coming up this weekend here on KXCV, KRNW. That'll do it for this week's show from A&G. I'm John Coffey.